Welcome, folks, to the December 21st, 2022 Aries Working Group call. This will be our last call of the year, as we will not be meeting next week for the holidays. Cool topics coming up today. Reminder that this is a Hyperledger meeting, and so the antitrust policy and the code of conduct are in effect. Please mind those and raise any issues if you have them, and we will help get them corrected. We have a link to the agenda in the chat. Welcome to add yourself to the attendees list or make any other useful changes for the community. Is there anyone new today that would like to introduce themselves? I'm glad you're here. The BCGov code with us ended already, correct, Stephen? So I've removed it from the announcements.
Correct.
I hope lots of folks applied for those opportunities. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's looking good.
Cool. I mentioned this before, but we'll be off not just next week, but the following week. So December 28th and January 4th for the holiday. And then we will be back after that in the first, I can't say the first full week of January since the first week is a full week, but the 11th of January we'll be meeting again. Any questions or announcements that ought to be here but are not? All right. Do any of our projects want to share any work updates or release status information?
I do.
Please.
Hi, this is Thomas. I completed the AIP 1.0 interoperability profile with CAML. So this should now pass. And I started working on the 2.0. So this is, basically ready to merge if you like. But before we do that, or before you do that, maybe I'd like to touch base again and talk about this a little bit. It doesn't have to be now, but maybe early next year. But yeah, so AIP 1.0 is done.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Let's see, and let me add this to the right thing here.
Yeah.
So, and while I'm at it, I read up about DITCOM 2.0 a bit over the last couple of weeks, and I looked at the Java slash Kotlin implementation from DITCOM, from SIGPA, I think it is. And I noticed that this got stuck with some, old Nimbus implementation from October 2021. And the issue is they removed all the multiple recipient stuff from that security library. And I thought, if I would actually like to work on DITCOM v2. So I unlocked that issue for them and I moved all the, multiple recipient cryptography stuff into that Kotlin project. And so that played out quite nicely. And hopefully next year I can, look at DITCOM v2 more closely. And actually I would like to bring this in to CAML as a, first class citizen. Over the year, perhaps decouple more and more from AKAPI and focus on DITCOM v2 more and more. So yeah, that's the long goal. But anyway, that library for DITCOM is now updated to the latest crypto library from Nimbus. Maybe that's the other thing.
Very cool. And I should mention that Lance here on the call, Lance Bird, has been leading up a community effort to further DITCOM v2 adoption within the Aries community. So they have regular meetings, and that might be a group that you would find interesting in your efforts.
I noted that down already. The next meeting, I just missed the last one. The next meeting is 9th of January. I raised a few issues against the spec, you know, minor things, typos and such, and one request for clarification, and maybe you'd like to look at this as well.
I will definitely look at that. Probably won't bring it up in this meeting, but I'll definitely look at that and appreciate your feedback there. That's excellent. Cool. Thank you, Thomas. And
Thanks.
I've got you on the list for early next year.
Yeah, well, yeah, great. Yeah, thanks.
Excellent.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. A couple of weeks ago, well, you know, 4 weeks ago, Red Hat met in Brno after 2 years of pause. So I met the entire team again. So that was very nice. And I demoed the SSI stuff to them, you know, the camel component and what you've seen already, you know, but this is now much more advanced, and they liked it too.
Excellent. That is good news.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Why don't you plan on starting with the next with a demo of that?
Yeah, so okay. So what I've done, I started off a kind of DITCOM V2 agent project. And it currently works as a facade in front of Akamai. So from, you know, from the client perspective of, for my test cases currently, you know, I sent DITCOM V2 messages and I received DITCOM V2 messages. But under the hood, it sort of calls out to Akamai and receives messages from Akamai, which are then put into the attachment from the DITCOM V2 messages. So maybe this is a little early to show this off right now, but my ultimate goal, or well, the milestone stone goal, would be to do the Faber, Alice, Acme, Thrift example with DITCOM V2 messages only.
Very cool.
Indeed. The other comment that I'll make is that because of been having these conversations about DITCOM V3, or sorry, not DITCOM V3, AIP3,
The
which is the application
AIP3,
of
yeah.
which is the application of DITCOM V2 to this. And so one of the questions in your work, and of course it's your work you get to decide, is whether you do AIP version 2 or you end up skipping directly to AIP version 3. It's sort of an accident of the timeline. I think as a community, we're going to end up targeting AIP3 before we really
Yeah, I
fully
mean,
get to
if I
AIP2,
may,
just
yeah,
because
if I
of the
may, you
urgency to get
know,
to V2.
yeah. Well, you know, it took me half a year to get up to speed to this level, right? But if I may, you know, I would very much like to skip ahead. And also, what I'd like to mention, I looked at the European Blockchain Service Initiative, EBSI, and the various components that are out there. So ideally, Alice would not live in you know, British Columbia and have a soft ID DIT. It would she would perhaps live in Europe, right? And have a DIT on the IBSI infrastructure, and I hope that I can get those two to interop. Right, because ultimately, SSI is about interoperability a lot and about standardization a lot. So ideally, also I'd like to get deeper into the European efforts on this side, you know, and at least uncover what is working and what is not working, and where the efforts to agree on stuff, you know, and actually have agents interop between the FON network and the IBSI network.
Yes,
So,
and
but that's enough. That's enough for me now. It's enough updates. I'm sorry. I don't want to hijack here, the demo or the talk.
no, that's excellent. But your inclination that skipping to AIP version 3 might be a good one, and that'll carry out, of course, as we continue talking. But yes, that's excellent. Okay, and again, it's an accident of the timeline that we're not fully accomplished on AIP2 before we're interested in AIP3 because of the arrival of DidCon V2. So again, it's hard to coordinate the timelines of all these things perfectly, and that's sort of what's happened as a result. But yes, thank you, Thomas. Any other updates that folks want to share? Awesome. Okay, I have three things on the list. The first, we'll turn the screen and the stage over to Ariel for his slides and discussion of what's going on with Advanced Chat. I wanted to give a minor update on did Legacy Peer in a conversation that Stephen and I had this last week, and where that I'm helping that to go and looking for feedback, and then a review of the AIP3 tasks in front of us. And I noticed that Alex and Lance volunteered for stuff, which is awesome. And so sort of continue to outline and keep updated on the work that's coming along. Are there any adjustments to the agenda that we want before we keep going? All right. That means I will stop sharing so that Ariel can. And the floor is yours.
Okay, let me see if I can do it.
We see it.
Yeah. Okay, so for those who were in the AIW or the AF Shaker community, I think some of you have already seen that an application that we showed, where we have a kind of a chat based on DidCom and verified credentials and that stuff. So this is it's an application that whose UI looks like Signal or WhatsApp, but also adds some features related to our world, right? The SSI or IDTech, or how they are calling that right now. So basically, what I would like to show you today is some details about how is it achieved and what is our vision in terms of having this advanced messaging over DidCom. So what we showed up the last time was this chatbot that allows you to provide some polls and options and stuff. Like, I don't know if it's like this. Last time, I don't know if you remember, Stephen. Is Stephen here? Yeah.
Yeah,
but you know that the chatbot was right.
It was. I did realize that.
Yeah, so yeah. So I think Rodolfo will agree on this. So yeah, we have the possibility of doing some interactions with chatbots, and also to send not only text messages but also send images and videos and voice notes as well. So yeah, so and also we have this concept of the message receipts, the view, the state. For instance, if I look at this, I'm now looking at the in my phone, and you see that here is a message. So yeah, this is so in this slide I will show you how what are the protocols behind this. So well, first of all, the introduction. I think it's needless to say in this community, but why we would like to have a dance chat over DidCom? Well, basically because when we started working on this SSI stuff, we thought we were actually very excited on peripheral credentials and all that stuff, but also on the DITCOM itself, because we find it very powerful in terms of flexibility, because we can connect different kind of devices and entities, and also we like this open standards approach, that so it might allow us to have a truly interoperable protocol for messaging, for general purpose messaging, and also of course we can take advantage of all these verifiable credentials and authentic data to being able to create a kind of verifiable chat application, which is one of the most, in our opinion, important issues the society is facing by using internet and connecting digitally. Of course, there are some difficulties, like we were discussing in the last month about group chat and push notifications and that stuff, but we are sure that we will be able, with the community we have, we will be able to solve them, and at least come up with something that it's at least able to compete with existing platforms, like of course WhatsApp, Signal, and those that we already know. So our approach to achieve this is not to create a complete new protocol, including all the features, or adapting an existing general purpose protocol or previous existing protocol to DITCOM, but to actually create, to use some existing protocols that were already supported by most ARIES agents, and also create some new ones that can be used optionally depending on each agent's capabilities. Those, for instance, as explained here, we have the basic message for text messages, the question answer, as you see for the menus, and we are also using the action menu to present contextual menus, and some other protocols that for media sharing, for message receipts, to exchange user profiles, that might or not might be used for chats. Maybe it can be used for other stuff, other kind of application. So an overview of each of them. So for text messaging, of course, the obvious approach is the basic message. We didn't want to overload it. I mean, we could use attachments or add some different fields to add metadata or I don't know, but we wanted to keep it as is because it's well supported by most agents, and we wanted to have some interoperability with them right from the start. So basically, if we connect our application with an agent that only supports basic message and other standard protocols, we can still communicate, even if we will not be able to send the images or to see the receipts, but we will be able still to connect. And that will be useful not only for mobile agents or chatbots, but also for maybe agents that are embedded in, I don't know, in cars or watches or whatever. So and then the question answer well, this is a protocol that is that was already existing. And it's quite basic and can be improved, but still it's thanks to these emojis and that stuff can provide a minimalistic and good experience, as you could see in the demo. And also it's possible with that it's possible to do some polls and to give some interactions, some good interactions. Of course, it will be interesting to do some improvements on evolvement of this protocol to add some more advanced items like images or maybe able to show some combo boxes. I don't know if it will be, it's worth to do something like Telegram that is so advanced in terms of chat interface, but still we can improve it. Or as I said here, send to some dates and that kind of things. For the action menu, we know that it's not used like that, or at least that's what I understood when I started implementing it. But we found it very interesting to show a persistent menu for the whole chat session. So in the case, for instance, of technical support, we can have some handy commands or actions to do. So we find it quite useful, and also it's something that probably is not present in most applications of instant messaging. So I think it's quite interesting. And also, of course, we can do some kind of navigation here if we want, because the protocol supports it. And these are the new ones, the protocols that we were defining. The most important one is the media sharing, which uses a concept that was, at least to me, it was introduced by some, I think in April in the IIW. There was a session that calls, I don't know if you remember some, but it was about bootstrapping Bitcoin connection, something like that, that explained that to use the trusted Bitcoin connection to launch some other protocols that are better suitable for transferring what we want to like. In that case, I think it was an example of launching a video call. In this case, what we are doing is uploading a file to a file server by another protocol like HTTP, and then by Bitcoin we share the details about how to retrieve that file and what that file is about. So I think here we have some details about that. So the idea is that the sender first generates an encryption key and encrypts a file. It will upload that file to a file server. The server will give a unique ID for that or unique URI to this to retrieve that file, and by Bitcoin it will share. It will send this message to share media with all the information needed to retrieve that, meaning especially the URI and also the encryption, the decryption material needed for that. If we actually the encryption is not mandatory if we are not using sensitive information or we trust the file server, maybe it's enough to just upload it and send the link to the recipient. But if we do, we can send it through DIPCOM, and then the recipient will download the file and decrypt it and show it. And based on the MIMI type, the recipient will understand if it's a video, it's a voice note, or it's an arbitrary file that for the user to download. I don't know. The other protocol is about the message receipts. Keep in mind that we started this implementation when DIPCOM V2 was not available. So maybe there are a few things that we can adapt or improve if we are going to use with DIPCOM V2. But just to make something generic that can work with DIPCOM V1, we created this very simple protocol that just allow a recipient to send to the sender the state of the message on the recipient part. So basically, as you may guess, we can say that we have received it. It's equivalent to that to an acknowledge on DIPCOM. That the user view it, and also that the user deleted. Maybe in some applications we want to inform that, and of course a dedicated timestamp for those actions, and also because it might happen that we can get online and receive a bunch of messages all at the same time. It's possible to send all message receipts for them in a single message, so it's more efficient. And also we have this user profile notion, because which is something that is common on chat applications, where we simply exchange some profile picture. Like here we have the DIT guys from Netherlands, and we can share this picture that comes in a form of an either an embedded attachment or also I mean inline attachment, or can be sent like in the case of media sharing as a link. And also some information like the display name, and not shown here, but we have the description or bio. And also we can potentially add some other common fields like the email address, phone number, birth date, and possibly add some way to link those statements to actual verifiable credentials. So in case the other party wants to have some verifiable information about us. For the moment, it's just self-attested. And well, this is what is already implemented in this development that I showed you. But we also have some other ideas or some other simple protocols to add that basically are listed here. the what we call the signal protocol is just it's actually used for sending the typing indicator. We send a signal to a recipient saying, okay, we are typing. And after a few seconds, that that signal will not be valid anymore, right? Because it might happen that we are typing and then we stop typing and that's it. But also can use it for online indicator if we want to share our status. We can mention also with the call, what I was mentioning before, to bootstrap a WebRTC connection over the DITCOM. Reactions also, which is similar to receipts. This idea of blocking user in our case is just using the coordinate mediation protocol to temporarily remove the key the routing key for that particular connection, so it will not receive messages anymore until it's re-enabled. Of course, it will need some fine-tuning that, but at least it's a solution. And of course, we can add some contact sharing, location, Wi-Fi connection, Bluetooth low energy pairing, and as I mentioned before, the polls that can be implemented directly by using question answer and or an evolution of it. Well, this is as I mentioned last week, the idea is to start sharing our specifications. I'm sorry that not everything is uploaded yet, but I will do it. I promise that I will do it between today and tomorrow. But we are we have the specifications and also the implementations. As we are using Ares Framework JavaScript for both parties, I mean the mobile application and also the chatbots and the other parties, we are implementing that as plugins for AFJ. So these repos are private. At this moment, but I will publish them tonight. So I think that's it. I don't know if you have some questions or remarks. I don't know.
Lots of excitement. This looks so cool.
Okay.
you've done a lot of work, and I'm really interested in looking at the draft specifications after you've got them all uploaded.
I will send them a message to the Discord group as soon as it's uploaded, so you can check it. Well, I think this one is already there. Yeah, the media sharing.
Cool. Rodolfo, your hand is up.
Yeah, I think the same question is, I want to see the RFC, if they're published, and we would love to contribute and make the same on our wallet. So we want to meet the same RFC so we can test again when you have DITCOM conviction.
Yes, of course. I hope we will have it soon.
This looks really good, and I think I'll have more to say when I can read them and see what you've done, and maybe I can offer some ideas or something. But yes. So Lance asked in the chat, and I think this is good. You know, will you be posting these protocols? You know, on didcom.org, and I think that would be great. You don't have to change their location necessarily. You can still create them as Ares RFCs and then link them there, or you can create them directly on didcom.org, which would also be perfectly appropriate. But yeah, so as you are ready, sharing these more broadly, I think would be wonderful.
Okay.
So yeah, I have one, the profile I'm excited about for a usability perspective, but I am cautious about one thing, and I want to bring it up. And I don't mean this as any negative feedback, Ariel, on your work, because it's really good. I have always been reluctant about images. And let me explain why. It's been common practice in social media platforms to have someone copy the profile picture and the display name of a user and create a new profile by that, and then seek to add contacts, often that will likely know that person again as if they had a new account. And this is really common in sort of advanced phishing schemes where they are impersonating this other party and then set that up. So the problem that I have is that I don't know what to do about that. For example, I use an avatar, you know, with the image of me scratching my head like everywhere, so that it's a little bit more familiar. Like, okay, that's the Sam I think it is. But someone could just copy that avatar and then post it somewhere, and it would be really it would be easy to assume that was me when it wasn't, right, to the same effect. So I wish we had a good way, and I don't have a good way, but I wish we had a good way to make those things not to prevent copying, because you can't, but to make it more detectable when something has. And I don't know how we do that. I don't know what the answer there is, whether there's some like authority of unique avatars that can like issue you a credential that yours is unique. I have no idea. But my point is that's a worry that I have. We've came up a while ago, year and a half ago, about putting images in invitations, and it's a good user experience thing, but I'm reluctant to do so. From the perspective of a company, I think that we can have things that are, you know, more certified logos, if you will, that actually come from some sort of business authority. But on a personal level, I have no idea what's appropriate there or what's a good answer. So anyway, I voice that because hopefully someone smarter than I has a good answer to that conundrum about how we limit phishing opportunities because of the familiarity of something like a profile picture. I cannot deny the utility of having a profile picture, to be clear. I just I worry about the downside of it.
No, I think we will have to be clear that particular field, I mean the profile picture, is not something verifiable, let's say. Maybe it can be. For instance, we can ask an identity verification service we all trust to check if the picture we are showing matches our face. Of course, that will depend that on what we are showing in our picture, right? But still, maybe the we can just by looking other fields on the profile information, like the name and the nationality, or no, we can have some sort of trust, at least in a better way than current systems. I mean, but yeah, I think it's an open question.
I've pitched for a who are you protocol where the proof request is kind of left open to the holder to construct and send based on whatever identification they have, and it's left to the verifier to come up with some way to figure out how much they trust what they're given. So you're given a verifiable presentation back, but it's open to the holder to share what they have. And that could be a well-known piece of identity, like a VLAI from an organization, or a, you know, verifiable organization from a registry, from a business registry. But it also allows that flexibility. And then it and then it becomes, we at least have a basis for getting a credential back and going from there to decide how much we trust it.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss there, but the I've proposed goal codes in the past for that as a way of saying, I have a goal of knowing who you are, and that gives you a lot of flexibility in how you can respond, right? Yeah. You might actually set a profile. I'm reluctant to hit everything with the VC hammer. And so I think that having a profile message where you could say, hey, here's some stuff that I'm just going to give you, or you could actually pass back verifiable credentials of that, I don't think is inappropriate.
Yeah.
I've always felt slightly weird about self-attested credentials.
I don't think a self, that's basically what I'm trying to get to is that you're not going to send back a self-attested.
Right. It would be issued by some authority. And then of course the verifier always has to decide how much they trust it. Right.
Exactly.
So totally. And I think that, this is moving the conversation along in really useful ways. And then what I hope we don't do is lose sight of the goal of having trusted data. And I have no idea, again, how to make an avatar trusted. But that would be a wonderful goal, right? And we have to be careful about our UX, about how we differentiate between trusted data and untrusted data, so that we can advise users on what they're looking at, right? So very cool, Ariel. Thank you, and please do post those links in the channel. That would be really cool to look over and in review and see what you're sharing and if we have any feedback or suggestions, that would be awesome. So very cool.
Okay, thank you.
And to repeat my plea from last time, and I'm grateful for Ariel to stepping up so soon since it was in my last meeting, but I'd love to see product demos of stuff, anything that you're willing to share you think is cool or notable. And sometimes that might be more cool and notable than you think, in the sense that, we have new members of the community all the time, and for them to be able to see things that you're working on is really inspiring to see what's happening. We talk about the technical details a lot, but sometimes, spending some time looking at the sort of the top surface level is really useful. So please reach out, Holler. I'd be very happy to have you take some time and be able to talk about what you're doing and give you the stage so that we can all benefit. Cool. Okay. I want to talk about Did Legacy Peer. This is related to Timo's issue. And in that issue, Timo, well, and in the draft that he has, he postulates on some ways that we could make this happen. And one of the ways that if you're going to qualify a did, we need to qualify with a did method, right? That's what it's lacking. And there's some discussion in here about ones to use, et cetera. Steven and I had a good conversation this last week about what the right one to use was. The unqualified dids that we're working with are peer dids in spirit, but not as defined by the peer did specification, which has more details, for example, about how the information is actually shared in the dids, that the method for sharing the did documents behind the did, the unqualified dids that we're passing around, is in fact the connections protocol or the did exchange protocol. And so one of the differences there is that those protocols no longer exist because of some flow changes in DidConv2, which means that all the information has to be actually just resolvable from a did, which is why the pure did method is created in that manner. So somewhere in here, Timo suggests a legacy did or a legacy peer. Let's see, I'm sure it's in here somewhere. I swear I saw it. Anyway. It might be in the issue, but the what I've done, and so Steve and I talked about it, it doesn't fit in the did peer method nor super well, nor does it super well fit in the did solve method, even though that's historically kind of what it was most related to. And so I've started drafting up the definition of a did legacy peer did method. The idea behind this one is that it would be useful to qualify the dids that we're passing around now, and it would also allow for transition into didcom v2. It transitions in a read-only manner. In didcom v1, you can create new peer dids of the legacy peer did method. In didcom v2, you can no longer create them, but you can still use them to identify existing connections, and this allows us a transition path. Didcom v2 allows the ability to rotate away from any did to another did, and that includes did legacy peer to some other did, whether that be a peer did or any other method, in order to make that happen. And so this does give us a method to do so. And I intend to have the details of this and also some history about why this came to be and why it's being used in a useful way. But then this did method serves as two things. One is that it's an RFC that we can include in AIP 3 and in a community coordinated update in order to qualify our dids. It also, of course, allows for the definition of a did method, though it's a semi-useful one for anyone outside of our community or outside the use of the unqualified dids that exist for historical reasons. And so this doesn't require us to abandon existing connections and continue to use them, but does help us to qualify these things and move forward in a useful way. The code to qualify dids under this will be very, very minimal, in the sense that if you have an unqualified did, you can simply stick did legacy peer in front of it. Or if you receive one, you can strip it off to pass to your code that doesn't expect to receive it and have it still work. But then the idea is that all of the dids communicated in protocols would be fully qualified in that manner. And then of course, with didcom v2 adoption, new ones you created, you can't create these in didcom v2 because those protocols are absent. As I discussed, you would need to create, if you wanted to use peer did methods, you would use the did peer method proper in order to make that happen. So I just wanted to kind of surface this from our conversation before, that this was happening and what's going on. Are there any questions, comments, thoughts, improvements? I've bored you all to death.
Thanks for doing this, Sam. I'll take a look at the HackMD and help you out with it.
It is not here yet. I've begun. So it, put it on the end of your to-do list, or not in the start of your to-do list, so that I can have more time to get it going. But yes.
Share it out when you get a chance.
I totally will. It's linked in the agenda, but I'll also share it out when I feel like it's sort of ready for an actual pass. So doing this means that we have a way forward to do this that doesn't sort of create something awkward or confounding with existing did methods. And then we can move this forward and get this solved. This is something we realistically should have attempted to solve the last time we did an AIP, but we didn't. And so it's time to do it. It's better late than never is the answer there. Cool. Okay. So AIP 3 tasks. Here are the notes that we have taken before about what either might be discussed for inclusion what needs to be added. We had a volunteer Alex here and volunteer Lance on those things. Are there any comments that you folks want to make about the work you volunteered for?
I haven't done any specific work on this other than the Aries didcom v2 working group met on Monday, and I think we had a great discussion. We were looking over the AIP 3.0 HackMD, we have been posting comments to kind of get a feel for how we want to maybe organize the document. The one of the things that we're wondering is, should we possibly break it down in terms of the trust over IP stack, so that people can understand maybe what's at layer one, layer two, and layer three? And if we did something like that, then maybe that list of of the kind of features that somebody would want to implement, like for instance, present proof and issue credential. Is that something that we maybe move out of kind of the basic grouping of things? We were actually interested to hear, you know, from people who had done kind of previous AIPs and if the focus has kind of always been on issuing credentials, because several people in that group actually, you know, want to use DIDCOM V2, and they you know, they want to interoperate with other agents, but they actually aren't as interested in issuing credentials. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Right, so. Right, we added comments about the Wacky PEX stuff that's listed there at Wacky DIDCOM. Again, we're just trying to figure out what's the best way to break it down so that if someone comes in, you know, who's fairly new to the community, let's say, or fairly new to DIDCOM V2, that they can easily from AIP 3.0 navigate to the most common path of implementation, the simplest implementation that would allow them to begin to interoperate with the types of DIDCOM V2 agents that are like them. And so, for instance, if they're not interested in issuing credentials, then maybe that's not something that they would implement or be a low priority. So these are just kind of the thoughts coming out. And yeah, we'd love feedback, especially from those who, you know, did the original AIPs.
So the original thought when the AIPs were done, and especially in AIP 2, was to write a goal of what an interoperable agent means. What is the point of having interoperability? So, and if you look at AIP 1 and 2, there's a thing at the top that says, here's the goal. And both of them were largely the same, as you said, to be able to use DIDCOM Connect and issue and verify credentials. That was essentially what the goals were. I think that's where you want to start, is saying what's the goal. So being interoperable at DIDCOM V2 layer, but if you're not interested in ARIES, but you are interested in DIDCOM, that's kind of a different concept than an AIP. An AIP would be, what does an ARIES agent want to accomplish?
I think the right question. Thomas, I see your hand. I'll get to you in just a second. I think that we have made the assumption that the combination of DIDCOM being a secure way to communicate, and the combination of credentials in portable trusted data are sort of necessary to carry out the actions that you care about from an ARIES perspective. And so that has been an assumption that we've made. And I think that being clear about that, or discussing whether we want to continue that, is relevant. There are certainly, DIDCOM is not an ARIES thing anymore. DIDCOM V1 was, and DIDCOM V2 is not, which means that it's entirely possible to build something that is compatible with DIDCOM V2 and doesn't really have anything else to do with ARIES. And so one of the things that, and this is probably more relevant as you bring this up, Stephen, to the existence or declared goals of ARIES as a project, given these movements, than just AIP3. Since this is an ARIES interop profile, having it be true to the goals of ARIES, I think is totally relevant.
I'm not even saying it has to be the same as AIP. Too. I'm just saying you need a goal.
And we need to be clear about the goal.
And we need to be clear about the goal, because then all these other questions become a lot easier. Do we want to include, you know, 183 revocation notification or not? Anyway, Thomas has got his hand up, so sorry.
If I could just, on top of that, I think that, so let's take the spec, DIDCOM V2, and certainly we would want in an interop profile to specify something like well, peer dids essentially as like, hey, you know, if you want kind of a minimally sufficient way to interact, you know, you need to support peer did. There's probably other things that I am not thinking of to put on top of that, but I guess what I'm saying is we have these other sections below this base requirements section that kind of is, well, I, whether we call them optional or paths. And so revocation and issue credential and, you know, present proof are does that belong as a separate path? It's something that we were trying to consider, given kind of the diversity of interest in being able to interop across agents.
Thomas.
Yeah. So along those lines, I can sort of imagine a pyramid of complexity. So of course you need to support dids and you need to support some did methods. And then the next step would be you need to be able to pass across or to communicate with plain messages, with unencrypted plain messages. Next level up, you would want to support signed messages, then encrypted messages, then unencrypt messages, and then, you know, going up the pyramid, you would want to have verifiable credentials, perhaps, and then even more complex, you would like to have the ability to revoke those. But on the very, very basic level, you need to support DIDs and resolve those and communicate with simple messages, right? So I think if you have that already, yeah, then the demo we have seen earlier, you could based on that you could get that messaging application going, right? It doesn't need verifiable credentials, it doesn't need all the advanced stuff, but I think you get the idea, right? So
I think the question is where we want to sort of define the base pyramid, right? And we could include more than simply just dids. And the question is how far up the pyramid do we want to declare as common? And that's the open question.
So maybe we can converge on how many different levels we want, right? So should the pyramids have three levels or should it have seven or five, right? But if we visualize that pyramid and we agree on, okay, we have four levels of complexity, then we have the various building blocks and we can talk about in which of the levels they fit.
Yeah, that's exactly how our conversation ended up towards the trust over IP stack and potentially organizing this in terms of that stack, because then, yeah, layer one, you have your did methods and, you know, you would list peer did as like the top, the most important, right, the highest priority within layer one. And then layer two, obviously, you need your did com, you need to follow the did com spec and have the... Yeah. Kind of these base protocols, and then layer three, you know, maybe the issue credential and things like that. But within that specification within the documentation for layer three, for issue credential, you would even want to show these are kind of the highest priority, you know, let's say, you know, a credential format or something like that, that you want to support in order to, you know, maximize your ability to interop with agents. So I kind of like the usage of the metaphor of a pyramid, but I think it ends up being a stack and looking very similar to the trust over IP stack, because like you said, we have to define some set of layers. The community knows about those layers, and then, yeah, being able to guide implementers towards the most common path for the parts of the stack that they're interested in, I think, is going to be extremely useful for the community.
Yes. So we are over time. And so I'm trying to be conscious of that, but this is a good conversation and I intend this to be a topic in our first meeting next year. So Thomas and Rodolfo, you both had things to say. Are the things that we want to say today, or do we want to carry them over into our conversation for next time?
I just say one sentence, you know, if adoption is your goal, then simplicity is your friend, right? So in layer one, maybe you want to have just 3 to 4 things that are necessary to you know, to get the check mark, right?
Right.
For I'm level one compliant, and maybe it only takes a few weeks to get there.
Just add one thing, is maybe not only layers, but we can have several goals. So we can have one goal that is issue credentials, and that's one goal, and you support this protocols. And then you have another goal, is being a chat application, like the Ariel show. And then you don't need to support credentials, but you need to support basic message and all the other protocols. So we can have different paths in one Ariel profile, right?
Yes, I do think it's the layer four of the trust over IP stack. There's a lot of variability in there in the actual goals that can occur. So definitely good for conversations. Thank you everyone for the conversation today, and Ariel for the demo and all the conversation. We'll be picking this back up in the new year. I hope you have a fantastic set of holidays and enjoy time with friends and family. And I will. We will see y'all later.
Amazing stuff, Ariel. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.